She's a rock. You're listening to episode 6 of She's a Super Geek, the live play RPG podcast highlighting women as GMs. I'm Senda, and on today's episode, my co-host Emily and I are continuing our two-player RPG podcast extravaganza with Witch House from Tau Games.
Welcome back to She's a Super Geek, the live play RPG podcast focusing on women as GMs.
Yay.
So our game is Witch House. This is written by a guy named Ben Lehman and from Tau Games. So Witch House is really short. The PDF is 2 pages. 1 page is a cover page. So everything you need to know is on page 2. And it's a pay for what you want system, which is really cool. So if you're looking for sort of a new game that's RP heavy, Witch House, I think, is great because you don't have to pay a lot of money to get it. Or maybe any money once you've listened to this. Now, Senda, you haven't read anything, right?
No, I haven't read the rules at all. Emily told me that I should not read the rules because if I read the rules, I'll apparently ruin it for myself. So I'm fully expecting to be totally creeped out at this point.
The prompt that's on the front of the PDF says, "Her boyfriend Ethan was taken by the witch house, so Emily is going to get him back. In 3 nights, the full moon will mean that the house has him for good."
Ah, no, Ethan!
So, something fairly obvious. The main character is referred to as Emily. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this, Senda. But my name is Emily.
What? No. The audience at home clutches their pearls.
How about you just choose just another name?
Right, I think.
For your PC.
I'm just going to go with Ellen because it's close, but it's great. Not Emily. And less confusion for us.
Yes. Not that I usually talk about myself in the third person, but.
I might talk about my character in the third person, which could become confusing.
Right. Why is Emily hitting herself?
Emily, stop hitting yourself.
So one of the things about Witch House is, I think, just based on the way it is written, I think you could play this GM-less if you had 3 players or more. However, because we don't, I'll be playing as the GM and Senda will be playing as Ellen. And so your prompt for Ellen is fairly simple. Ellen is dedicated, young, beautiful, and brave.
That's right. I am all of those things.
When you act as her, use yourself as you should be. Your very best hope.
This is going to be terrifying, isn't it?
Yeah. So you are... Now, when I see the word young, what I'm thinking is like you're 16 or 17.
Right.
So, Ellen, well, first tell us a little bit about your boyfriend, Ethan.
Ethan and I met in high school, and because we're both juniors this year, we have been dating for about 6 months now, and I think that he might be the one, but I'm not going to make any decisions before college. We're keeping things moving really slow. He is about 6 feet tall, and he's really... kind of muscular but lanky, and his hair is kind of curly but dark, and he totally has a British accent.
I'm kind of falling for your fake boyfriend.
I think I'm just describing like Tom Hiddleston. Yeah, I'm pretty much just certain haired versions of Tom Hiddleston is what I just described as a junior in high school.
I was thinking Benedict Cumberbatch.
Well, it could be that too. I think I've just described a lot of British actors that are very popular at the moment.
Right.
A lot of them.
So is he a jock? Is he a nerd? Is he the leader of Bible study? Who is Ethan? Like, what's his main thing?
Ethan is actually he's the captain of the swim team. I'm very proud of him because he got the captaincy this year. And usually it only goes to seniors, but he is so good that he got it as a junior. That's really cool. And so he's probably going to be the captain for all of the rest of our time at high school. And so I always go to all of his matches, even though I have to get up super duper early in the morning on a Saturday to do it.
So, Ellen, you get word from some of Ethan's friends that he went into the witch house.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Why would he do that, you guys? Why would he do that? Why would he go in there? He's smart. Why would he do that?
None of them have an answer for you.
Well, why didn't you stop him?
We tried.
You tried? Well, why didn't you try harder? Did he come back out?
No. And you know what they say about the witch house. If somebody is there when the full moon strikes, they're gone forever.
You have to come with me. We're going to go in there and we're going to get him.
Oh, hell no. I ain't going into the witch house.
I'm imagining
them scurry away.
Yeah, scurrying away as I'm going. But Ethan is your friend. Friendship is magic.
Ellen, this witch house, you know, you live in a relatively small town. You know, so yeah.
That's why.
So this witch house you've known about since you were small.
Right. You don't go near that house. You don't go near that house.
So what does the witch house look like from the main road that you would take and pass it?
Well, it's been getting more decrepit every year. So, at this point, it's kind of, you can tell it used to be white once a really, really long time ago. But it mostly doesn't have any paint anymore. And the shutters are all falling off the windows, but they were shuttered over the windows. So, I can't really tell what's happening, but I don't think there's any glass in the windows anymore. And it's like this weird, narrow, tall house. It's like 3 stories tall, but it looks like it's only like one room in each story. It's really strange. I don't know how anyone would ever live there because I don't know where you would have your bathroom. It doesn't make any sense. And then out front is always this giant like jungle because no one ever mows it. And the city is always posting notifications that they have to mow their lawn, but there isn't anybody who lives there. So they just stick them on the mailbox and they're too scared to actually go up to the door or even knock on it. So there's just always this pile of like loose papers and notifications stuck to the mailbox out front, which fell over last year, but they're still just sticking them to the fallen over mailbox.
So everyone's afraid of the witch house.
I think everyone is afraid of the witch house.
But your dear Ethan.
But Ethan went in there and like somebody, I look up and down the street and it is absolutely deserted. Like after that interaction, everyone went inside and they closed their windows and they shut their doors.
As the sun begins to set.
And a tumbleweed rolls by in the middle of the road and I take a deep breath and you know what? No, nothing has ever actually happened. It's all just stories. And that is an old house. And if he still hasn't come back out and it's been a couple of hours, then he could have like fallen through a broken floor or something into the basement and he could have a broken leg and he could be in there. But gosh, the sun is setting. So I'm going to really quickly, I will sprint home and grab a flashlight. And then I will.
Oh, that was a smart idea.
Sprint back. Because the sun is going down and I'm about to go into an old house that doesn't have electricity and I don't want to fall through the floor too.
Sometimes people say they see lights up on the witch house.
Yeah, but I've never seen any of the lights on the witch house. So, I mean, I think they're just telling more stories to scare us.
Yeah, but have you ever looked?
Well, I mean, I kind of try not to think about the witch house unless I'm looking right at it or my boyfriend is in it. So... I'm thinking about the witch house a lot right now for the first time in a long time because it's not something that's taken a lot of my concentration. I've been very much concentrated on making sure that I'm a straight A student and that I have all of the extracurricular activities that I need to get into the best possible college so I can get out of this town. And Ethan is supposed to come with me. We are supposed to go to the same college. So he is not allowed to have a broken leg and die in some stupid old broken down house. Time to grab a flashlight.
That makes perfect sense, yeah. The rules actually tell us we should play in 3 sessions at night with no light but candlelight or an old fluorescent, but not both. So, listeners at home, pretend you're listening to this at night if you're not listening to it at night by candlelight, because I think that that's better.
Right.
And we are totally, Senda and I are both sitting here cloaked in candlelight.
In the darkness.
With the glow of our laptops.
Yeah, no, we turned the computer, the laptop displays are off. We can only hear each other's voices, and it's pitch black.
You walk up the lane, the unmarked lane, of course, because nobody actually lives in the witch house, so why would they need to use the little road that leads up to it? And you see the broken mailbox lying there.
Yep.
And you kind of look up a little bit and you see that there is this wrought iron fence and there's a gate that is twice your height that is kind of lazily hitting against the fence in the wind. So it's not actually latched. And as you look out over the overgrown weeds, and maybe some of them are actually flowers, and you kind of wonder if why there's like a weeping willow in your climate. Are those Venus flytraps? There's an overgrown cobblestone walkway up to the front door. The 4 steps leading up to it look a bit rotted, and there's a front wraparound porch, a large double door that has a half circle stained glass on it, and the stained glass from, you can't tell what it looks like from where you are.
Okay, so the gate is not latched, it's just gently tink, tink, tink.
Yeah. And you hear the rumble of thunder.
Okay. So I look up and I look around to see if I'm gonna get rained on quickly.
A raindrop hits you in the head.
Okay. So I kind of tuck my flashlight under my shirt so it doesn't get wet and push through the gate, go running up the cobblestones. This is such a scary gate, you guys. Is that me running or is that something else?
Yeah, that's you on the cobblestone.
Okay.
Oh, you were running?
I was running. That's what I was like. Okay. Until I get to the rotted out front steps, and then I'm going to pause and look at them for a second because I don't want to just stomp through them. So I'm going to walk up them, but I'm going to walk very carefully up like one of the far sides, mm-hmm. not up the center, like one of the edges, sort of see if I can hold on to the banister or if it's too wiggly.
The banister looks like it has fallen down. Like there are spindles, but the top isn't there.
Okay.
As you kind of look to see if the steps are rotted, there's a flash of lightning and you just kind of see through the little bit of rottenness, you think you see something scurrying down there.
Ethan! Ethan!
So as you walk up onto the more stable wraparound porch, okay. There is a single rocking chair that is lazily rocking in the wind, but not in time with the wind gusts. Do you see the half circle above the door is a stained glass version of the house itself.
Like broken down and everything?
Yep. I mean, obviously not in like great detail glass.
But like it's clearly not like the pristine version of the house that once was.
Nope. It matches the house that is.
Ooh.
And so there is a knocker on the door. But it's a big house. You assume that there's going to be other entrances. And there is no welcome mat.
In theory, there's no one living here. But I'm going to stick the flashlight in the back pocket of my jeans.
Okay.
So that I have both of my hands. I'm going to knock on the door with the knocker. Assuming that nothing changes, I will turn the knob and stick my head in a little ways.
As you reach out to turn the knob. The knob turns.
Ah! I'm like, jump back to the other side of the porch.
The door swings open and there's no light in the house, But you can see a little kind of silhouetted. There's the figure of a very tall man there, taller than Ethan.
Excuse me, sir. I'm looking for Ethan McDonald, and I heard that he came to your house several hours ago, and I am wondering if you may have seen him.
This figure will take kind of a half step out the door and looks to the left and looks to the right and kind of looks down the path, and the lightning flashes again, and you see that this man is dressed as a butler with white gloves and everything, but his eye sockets are just skin and he has no ears.
Oh my gosh.
And he kind of shrugs, like, I guess there was nobody there, and goes to close the door.
Okay, well, so the moment that I see that, I'm going to try to dart past him into the house before he gets back to the door and closes it. And then I will just flatten myself along the wall just inside the door and see if I see anybody else. Because there was not supposed to be anyone here.
From what you can tell, this person looks like a person other than the fact that it has no eyes and no ears.
So it has a mouth and a nose.
Yes, but instead of eyes, it's just skin. You dart inside and you do indeed get in before he or it closes the door. You see him go, he kind of walks past you, getting a little bit closer to you, and reaches out, and you're a little freaked out, and you kind of, like, freeze, and he reaches, like, over your shoulder, you know, onto a ledge and pulls back, and he has matches, and he begins to light a candelabra.
Okay.
He lights a candelabra. It has 6 candles on it, and they are tall black candles that burn slightly magenta. And he picks up the candelabra. So you see a staircase that leads up to a second story that you can't really discern. You see that there is a foyer, that it's 3 stories high, and that there's a huge crystal chandelier hanging down from it. So there's the staircase, there's a door, there's an archway to the right, an archway to the left, and then a door sort of farther along following the staircase that is a swinging door that the butler goes through. And as he leaves, the room goes dark. Not unusually dark, like, it's dark outside and there's no lights on in this room dark.
Not darkness spell dark. Can I peek through the swinging door and see what room he went into?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. Or you can attempt anything you want.
Stop being Veronica.
There's nothing in here that is a tribute to Veronica.
Uh-huh. At all.
We're a podcast!
No one listening to this podcast should listen to Cthulhu and Friends. No one should follow CAF Podcast on Twitter or go to CAFpodcast.com.
Oh my gosh, the last episode I was listening in the car. It was amazing. Anyway.
You go to peek in through the swinging door.
Yep.
And you see a hallway that is empty with several doors off it. And at the end of it, you see another door that's propped open. And there's light spilling out from it. And you can hear some clashing and some banging coming from the room.
My grandmother, in real life, but sure, Ellen's grandmother too, in her house had a swinging door like this into her kitchen. So as a small child, it was one of the most fun things to just play with that door when I was at her house and swing it back and forth and go running back and forth between it. So I'm actually really good at basically easing that door open and then easing it shut behind me so that it doesn't swing, because I would get in so much trouble for having it swinging all the time. It would drive my parents and my grandmother crazy because I would go running in and out. So I do the thing where you push it open, but you don't let it go. And then you go through, and then you very carefully kind of let it go as close to where the hinges are back to normal as possible. So it just goes very, like, maybe once little. And then I will tiptoe down the hallway, and I just want to, like, maybe even get down on all fours and just look around the corner and see what is going on in that room with the light.
As you're walking down the hallway, you notice that there are several oil paintings on the wall.
Ooh.
And they all look like they're of a young woman from between the world wars is what you would wager just based on her outfit. And she looks to be about your age. And she has a cat on her lap. There's three separate portraits of this young woman and her cat. You know, like one's inside and she's like sitting with a book and the cat. Like one is outside with her and some pretty flowers. And the other one looks like a more formal posed painting.
This isn't one of those creepy situations where the eyes are following me or something, is it?
Oh, no. No, of course not.
Okay. Yeah.
Do me one favor just so I know. Can you just describe Ellen a little bit to me?
Ellen is, she's, how old are you when you were a junior?
16 or 17.
16 or 17. So Ellen is, she's a 16-year-old girl. She's just starting to really blossom, as it were. So she's starting to fill out her clothes nicely. She's pretty lithe, but she's also not skinny. Like, she's got some muscle on her, but she's got some chub, too. She's got crazy kind of half strawberry blonde, half maybe a little bit mousy, curly hair that comes down a little bit past her shoulders. And I think she wears glasses. So she's cute. Very girl next door cute. Everybody right. tends to like her. She's got a really open, outgoing personality. And, you know, she's friends with everyone. And she's the popular girl, not because she's like plastic or something, but because she genuinely likes people. And actually just really cares about everyone. And it's really hard to make her not like you. So she tends to really right. think the best of people. Busy high school student, reads a lot of books, and yeah. has a cute boyfriend, and is on Tumblr a lot. Yeah.
The oil paintings you see are of a very thin blonde, 16, 17-year-old woman.
Okay.
And the cat is black. You kind of peek around the corner, and you are kind of like, oh, thank God, like, it's a kitchen.
Oh, okay, well, that makes sense.
Except there's no modern appliances. You hear the clanging stops and you hear a thud. And then you hear what sounds like a butcher's knife hitting bone.
If you don't have any modern appliances, you probably don't have refrigeration, so they might butcher their own meat. And that could be fine. This is a really creepy house, so it could be something else. But I'm going to go with that it's probably okay. There is probably a logical explanation to all of this. I'm assuming that I can't see wherever this is going on.
You're just peeking around. It's a fairly big kitchen. Like you would see in Castle. A big, long galley kitchen. This
house is a lot bigger than I realized it was.
And there's a layer of dust on everything that you can see.
I want to see if I can maybe duck in and like maybe stay under the level of the counter and see if I can see where the noise is coming from.
As you're sort of darting around, you see down at the far end, there looks like the back of a plump woman turned towards you. She seems to be sort of raising up a butcher's knife and bringing it down in front of her.
Can I tell what she's cutting?
No.
The problem is that I've watched just enough horror movies. Ellen has watched just enough horror movies to be really terrified that they're chopping up Ethan because of the stories around this house. But I refuse to believe this. And so I'm going to just quietly back out of the kitchen. Back in the hallway, I want to maybe just really carefully and as quietly as I can open each of the doors in the hallway and just see if there's anything inside of them that I care about. I'm basically at this point, my goal is to search the house and find Ethan as fast as I can and get out of here.
You open one of the doors and it looks like a storage room. Nothing too interesting. And I'm assuming you're using your flashlight.
Yeah, but I'm
to
not.
See
I'm
around.
Like, I have it off and sort of pointing, or I have it like pointing kind of towards me until I open the door and see if there's a reaction or a light coming, like already there. And then if given that there's like, it doesn't sound like there's actually anybody in there, then I'm like shining it in.
You don't find anything that suspicious. There's a couple more paintings of this teenage girl. You do notice that some of the furniture, it matches all, in the room, but they don't match each other. Like, you walk into one and it looks like furniture you would have found in Louis XVI Versailles. You know, very elegant and opulent and plush. And, you know, you open another one and it looks like a, you know, a very plain, straightforward bedroom that you might have seen in Puritan New England. And as you go to open one of the last doors, you open it and you hear the door hit something and you hear a little rawr!
After that, does the door open? Is it light in that room or anything?
No, it's not light. There's no windows either.
Okay, so I'm going to shine my flashlight in there. What's in there? Are there eyes under the chair?
There are eyes under the chair, but they are cat eyes. Normal sized cat eyes, just kind of staring at you.
I'm so sorry, kitty. I didn't know you were there. Come here, kitty. I'm just looking for my boyfriend. And then I'll get out of your way.
And the cat will slowly creep out and come towards you.
I'm going to hold my ground.
It doesn't approach you in any strange way. It approaches you like a, you know, like a cat who you accidentally bumped, you know, and is maybe a bit of a shyer cat, but is still a little curious.
I'm
going
to reach out my hand and see if it'll sniff.
All right,
give
sniffs.
It a little scritch behind the ears, an apology.
Unlike the rest of this house, this cat is clean.
Everything else is dusty, huh?
Yeah, everything else has been
fairly
dirty.
Is the rest of this room dusty too? It's just the cat that's clean?
This room looks like it's been a dusty room that a cat has been in. Some of the furniture is a little tattered. It looks like, you know, a cat has been jumping, so there are paw marks in the dust on the shelves and all that.
Does it seem like the cat wants to get out of this room?
Yeah, the cat is rubbing against your hand.
Do you want to come with me?
The cat kind of nuzzles up to you, like, you know, pick me up.
I'll pick up the cat. And I'll just kind of scritch its ears a little bit. And it's kind of because I'm talking to it quietly to kind of soothe it. I'm going, I wonder where Ethan could be in this big, huge house. I swear it was not this big when I saw it from the outside.
And you'll look at the cat's collar and it says Helen's.
Helen's, huh?
With an apostrophe Helen's. S.
Helen's cat. Okay. I guess I don't know your name, but maybe... Helen is the woman who lives here, and I didn't mean to sneak into her house, but, it's kind of strange, so I'm just gonna try and find Ethan as fast as I can. Maybe no one will notice me.
As you come back into the hallway, you see that there's a plaque beneath one of these oil paintings that you've seen before, and it says, Helen and Scaredy Cat.
Aw, are you Scaredy Cat?
This cat does look exactly like the cat in that oil paintings. But those oil paintings are from, like, 1925. Like,
pause for a moment. Hold up the cat. Look at the painting. Look at the cat. Either you are really, really old, or... You must just be one of, maybe you're one of, like, Scaredy Cat's grandchildren. The rationalization begins. Good, so I guess I'm gonna... Is Scaredy Cat's grandchild, air quotes, the kind of cat that likes to sit on shoulders?
Sure.
So I go ahead and just put the cat, like, on my shoulders, so I can have my flashlight. I mean, if the cat decides to leave, the cat decides to leave. What do you think, Scaredy Paws? Which way should we go now?
You're in the hallway, and as you... You know, open the swinging door. All that's in front of you is a different staircase.
Well, this is definitely not how I got here. Okay, I've seen this episode of Buffy. It's gonna be okay. Of course, Giles actually had a chainsaw to cut the door back in the wall, but I'm sure that I can think of something. Okay, so a staircase. Let's go up the staircase.
As you begin to walk up the staircase, it creaks. All of a sudden, you're walking up, and you know how when you think there's another step and there's not, and you kind of trip a little bit, you start falling forward, but as you do, you hear a little and the stairs beneath you slide back so that the stairway becomes a slide. You start sliding down the staircase. There is a trapdoor at the end that opens.
I really don't know if I want to end up in that trapdoor, but maybe that's where Ethan is. What is the cat doing?
The cat has let out a great yowl and is dug into your shoulder.
Okay, with its claws. Tells me that maybe this is a place I don't want to go.
The back of the cat's, you know, fur is all standing up, like its tail is straight. It seems to try to get off you, but it's kind of stuck in your clothing.
I'm going to try and just, like, dig the rubber of my shoes onto the slide to try and stop my forward momentum sliding and, like, have my hands out, like, along the walls and see if I can stop myself from sliding to this trapdoor.
You slow yourself down, but you can't stop yourself. And once you go through the trapdoor, there's nothing to support you. You just fall. And it doesn't feel like you fall for very long. But of course, the trapdoor above you
shuts.
Click shut. You are in darkness. The darkness of a basement that's not lit at night.
I still have my flashlight.
You still have your flashlight. Skitter, skitter, skitter.
I'm going to turn it on real quick and look around really fast to see if I can find the source of that moat.
In your periphery vision, you see things jumping out of the way. Yeah. And you see long legs that look like long spider legs.
Okay, that's... spiders.
Well, they look like... there's something jumping and looks like it has spider legs, but this thing is bigger than the cat.
Bigger than the cat?
Yeah, it's bigger than the cat. And you kind of catch a glimpse of it, and the body is too thick to be a spider. And it looks like it has some sort of antenna on what you assume is its front.
Ooh... Do I think there's just one of them, or are there, like, a bunch of them?
You, at this point, only see one.
Okay.
And it's kind of, it's hiding behind something.
Okay. So I'm going to keep my flashlight kind of on that and try to glance around the rest of the room in the sort of the diffused light that is not my direct beam, since the flashlight seems to make it want to hide, and see if I can see any exits or anything, or what else is down here with me.
You look and you see, you're not sure what it is at first. It's definitely sort of like an old, creepy dirt basement. You do see, like, okay, there's some old canning equipment down there. You see some shelves, and it looks like there's old paint cans. There's a lawnmower that looks ancient and rusted. And you also see, you can't quite tell what it is. It looks like a pile of maybe clothes or something. And you get a little bit closer and you see that there is a skeleton.
Oh my.
The dress decayed, obviously, but it looks like one of those longer dresses from the later 20s.
And this is all super dusty, I'm assuming? Or does it look like...
It's all super dusty. You think that at one point the dress might have been white, but it's definitely yellowed with age and is really, really dusty. And there also seems to be a purse nearby that matches the dress.
So I'm gonna, skeleton, giant jumpy bug thing. I'm going to keep doing the thing where I flash my flashlight back to where the bug is hiding to try and keep it in hiding because it seems to not like the light. But I'm going to also point it in front of me and see, is the skeleton holding the purse or it's just near the skeleton?
No, it's near the skeleton as if the skeleton fell and was, or the purse, somebody fell and was holding the purse in the fall, let go of the purse.
Okay.
And every time you move your flashlight a little bit away, the bug tries to move.
Right. So I just keep snapping it back.
Right. And it keeps...
Right. So I'm kind of trying to keep my flashlight aimed over there, and simultaneously I just want to reach down and... So I'm scared that the skeleton's going to grab my hand. I'm going to reach down and just snatch up the purse as quickly as I can and back away from the skeleton.
And all right.
Trying to keep the light the whole time without really looking at where the bug is.
Well, and so you're trying to keep the light steady, but as you're moving, the light's moving a little bit, and so you see across the room... is a staircase up and a door, but you're going to have to cross the room. Okay. So you have this purse. It's it looks like it's crocheted and has a it has a little gold chain and a gold clasp.
Okay, I just want to actually look inside it really quickly. See if there's anything useful in there. I don't even know what I'm looking for.
There's a few coins in there. There's a compact. There's a lace handkerchief. And there's a dollar or two.
I don't know. It could come in handy. I have no idea. So I'm just going to tie the gold chain shoulder strap part around one of my belt loops so that I have my hands free. Kind of pull the cat's claws out of my back. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to aim the flashlight at the bug. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to try and back towards the staircase.
You hear some other sounds that, you know, sound more like normal basement-y. Like there's probably some mice running away. And the bug, anytime you shine light on it, just stops moving. Except you can see its antenna like lazily waving. You get up the stairs and open the door.
Quietly.
Quietly. And then do you jump back and close the door really quickly?
I don't know. What do I see?
Do you remove your light from the bug?
I guess that I'm going to have to. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to open the door, step through the door, and then pull the flashlight into this room and look around while I shut the door behind me.
You're back in the foyer.
Oh.
Coming through a door that you didn't notice before.
Interesting. So now my choices are stairs up, arch, the flappy door I went through, right?
Mm-hmm. You hear what sounds like footsteps from the floor above you.
Do they sound like they're coming?
Right now, they just sound like they're above
you. Moving around. I'm going to go up the stairs. Because maybe that's Ethan. And the faster I find Ethan, the faster I can get out of this really, really creepy house.
The staircase curves a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
At the top of it, it kind of keeps going on and curves and goes up to a third story. There's a double door in front of you, and then a little side hallway and a couple of other doors.
I'm not really sure where the footsteps were coming from, so I might actually start with the side hallway. I'm gonna just go down there and I'm gonna listen at each of those doors and see if I hear anything. If I don't hear anybody moving around inside, I'm gonna just peek in really quickly with my flashlight and check them.
They look exactly like rooms you saw on the first floor.
Oh.
Except the cat one isn't there.
But the other ones are the same. Except the kitchen isn't there.
Right, the kitchen isn't there.
So I'm going to approach the double doors and listen at the double doors.
There's definitely movement from inside.
Okay. Is there any crack between the doors or anything that I could peek through?
Yeah.
I'm going to do that. Because I want to see if it's Ethan before I go bursting in.
An eye looking back at you meets you.
Whoa!
The doors burst open.
Okay.
And in front of you is a tall, thin woman with sort of white blonde hair streaming all over the place. She's levitating off of the floor. She has hands that are claw-like with long fingernails, and she opens her mouth and there are jagged, pointy teeth. And she roars at you. And she makes a swipe at you.
And I go stumbling backwards, apologizing for being in her house, but that I need to find Ethan, but I'm also, like, moving away from her as fast as I can. Is she coming after me?
She's totally coming after you.
Okay.
And she's growling, "Get out! Get out!"
Okay.
And slashing at you.
Okay, okay, okay. Look, my boyfriend is in here somewhere. I'm very sorry. I knocked I did let myself in. I'm very sorry.
The front doors blow open in the wind and she makes a pushing motion. And even though she's several feet away from you, you are picked up by the wind and pushed out. Not onto the porch, not into the bramble, but back into the lane. And the door slams shut. Even though you feel it hasn't been that long, you look up and you see the sun rising.
Oh my goodness. What's this cat doing?
The cat seems to be a little frozen and is huddling up against you and is shaking as if it's in shock.
I'm a little unsteady myself. I'm going to take a deep breath. Yep, I think I'm going to have to call you Scaredy Paws or Scaredy Cat or something. Buzz, I don't even... Okay. Didn't find Ethan. Why would she chase me out if Ethan is in there? Oh.
You know that you have two more nights before the full moon rises. And if the full moon sets with Ethan inside, supposedly he'll be trapped forever. Which now you're starting to wonder if those rumors are true, given the, you know, weird stuff you've experienced.
Let's see, the sun is just starting to rise. I'm gonna run home. I'm gonna leave my mom and dad a note in case I don't come back out. I'm going to grab, let's see, I've got a flashlight. I'm gonna grab rope from my dad's camping stuff. And I'm going to grab my mom's crucifix necklace. I'm going to wear that. Can't think of anything else. So I kind of gird myself and I maybe actually put on a backpack. So I've got some extra batteries and stuff in there. And the necklace, it's silver and it's a cross. And and it's got a little sapphire gem in at the meeting point. So she probably won't be very happy when she discovers that it's gone, but I feel like that this is an important use for it. Good, so I'm going to basically grab my school bag, I dump all my stuff out, I throw in the rope, I put on the necklace, I grab some extra batteries, and then I write a note, and it's pretty much, you know, like, no one's going to believe me, I'm not running away, love you very much, I'm really sorry if I don't come back, I have to save Ethan. I put the backpack on, I clip the chest part, and there's a waistband, because it's one of those ones that, like, you can carry lots of really heavy stuff in it, and I kind of clip them on, and I tighten them, and I give myself a determined look in the mirror, and then I sneak back out of my house before my parents wake up, and I go back down to the creepy, creepy, creepy house, and I'm standing out front, and I have to take a deep breath.
It's a little different.
Oh, no.
The gate is closed, but not locked.
Okay.
The mailbox is fixed and has no signs on it. The bramble seems to have been cut back a little bit, but it's still there. You know, but it's much easier to walk through. And you see, you know, part of the roof that you thought was caved in looks like it's in perfectly fine condition.
Okay. Do I go sneaking into someone else's house again, or do I try to be polite and maybe not get kicked out? Ugh.
Where's the chainsaw, Giles?
If only I had a Giles to break me out of here when I get stuck.
Who says you don't? Who's your mentor, Ellen?
You know, it's always a bad idea to make me think of names, right?
Yes.
That's why
I make you do it.
Doing this to me, right? His name is, his name is Hamlet. Hamlet.
Definitely. Hamlet is your Giles.
Hamlet is my Giles.
So have you encountered supernatural stuff before, Ellen?
That's a really good question. Wow, that's going to change how I play the entire rest of this game. This answer could. No, you know, I don't think, I really didn't believe in supernatural things until last night. Last night was sort of an eye-opener. But, you know, Hamlet has been, you know, he's always there for me even when my parents aren't there. He's a really good guy. He's a math teacher. There's been a couple of times when things have gone very, you know, they kind of went a little sideways and he's been there. And so he's somebody that I feel like I can really rely on as an adult mentor figure. He's the kind of person who might show up with a chainsaw if I called him and asked him to.
with that, we come back to Ellen in the little lane in front of the witch house.
Does this fence go all the way around the house, or is it just along the front?
That's a great question. Do you want to walk around the house?
Yeah, I'm going to walk around the house.
Okay, the house backs up to the haunted woods.
There's a haunted woods.
Well, that's not what it's actually called.
It's like, how did I miss this?
It's actually called, like, you know, the Huntington Woods or something like that. But all the kids call it the haunted woods.
I'm going to go back to the road. I'm going to go carefully and quietly as I can through the fence, through the gate.
All right.
I'm going to look carefully at the house for a moment and make sure that I don't see any movement or anything.
Nope. Although, are those drapes on the windows?
Ooh. I'm going to strike off to the right, and I'm
all right, looking... headed towards the carriage house.
Oh, is there a carriage house over there?
Yeah.
Yes. Sure. Was there a carriage house there yesterday?
No. There's also a carriage in it.
A carriage, like an actual horse-drawn carriage kind of carriage?
Yeah. Nay.
Is there a horse?
You hear the neighing of a horse, and Scaredy Cat kind of, like, digs his claws into you again.
Oh, I forgot Scaredy Cat was with me. We're like, ooh, ouch. I'm gonna kind of pull Scaredy Cat's paws out of my shoulder. I'm going to carefully, quietly approach the carriage house, and I just want to peek inside.
This carriage house is quite large, and you know that carriage houses usually have a little apartment above them where drivers would live.
Yeah.
Because that sounds like a history thing.
Yep.
So there's a carriage that looks, it looks like a carriage at least, that's covered. It looks like a giant tarp has been thrown over a carriage, and there indeed is a horse back there.
I swear this was not here when I left this morning. Are there any doors into the house from the carriage house, or is it a separate building?
You can't really tell from here.
So in that case, I'm gonna go into the carriage house. And I'm looking for a door into the main house, because I am apparently crazy enough to sneak back into that house, because my name is Ellen.
Ellen, no last name, because you're going to die.
Shh. That that just means I'm going to come back next season.
So there is a door over by the stable. There's a sign hanging on the little stable half door that reads, American Pharaoh.
This is a joke that's going past me because I don't have issues with the Kentucky Derby, isn't it?
He won the Triple Crown this year.
Did he?
That's like a huge deal. Okay. Never
okay,
mind.
That's anyway, Ellen probably doesn't know anything about horse racing either, so.
The door behind the stable opens, and in walks what looks like probably the driver. He's got a top hat on, and he's wearing a long, dusty coat, but he's transparent.
I'm going to duck behind the nearest large object and watch this ghost thing.
The ghost is picking up oats and setting the feeding bag on the horse.
Is the horse slightly transparent as well? Is the ghost interacting with solid matter, or is the ghost interacting with other ghost matter?
It looks like it's solid.
Interesting.
And you hear this man just talking to the horse.
Okay, so I'm gonna see if I can sneak around him while he's busy with the horse and sneak through the door that he came from.
You end up tripping over something.
Oh, man.
And the man turns to you. And his face is, it's not just transparent, but it's definitely a skull, not a human.
Oh, boy.
And he says, "You look like you've seen a ghost, dearie." We hope you enjoyed listening to episode 6 of She's a Super Geek. If you liked what you heard, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. You can find us on Twitter at SAS Geek Podcast, or go to sasgeek.com to find more ways to connect. Our theme song is Rock and Roleplay Baby by Kieran Strange. Find more at kieranstrange.com or on Twitter at Kieran Strange. Witch House was written by Tau Games. Find out more at tau-games.com.
Gen Con is in 2 weeks, gamers. If you want to play a game with me, I'll be running Lasers and Feelings for Contessa's Game Night Thursday from 6 to 10, one at 6 and one at 8, as well as a couple of other games for Games on Demand and a playtest of Exploding Rogue Studios' Dead Scare. Times and locations for these latter games have yet to be decided, so make sure you're following our Twitter feed for the latest information. I'm ready. I'm waiting on the battle. She's a